Savior, Bobby. Let's stand together, if you would. Just bow our heads. Heavenly Father, Lord, we are grateful, Lord, for the privilege and opportunity to be able to have a desire in our hearts to, Lord, to search out and to find a place that we can gather to hear you speak to us. And Lord, here you've supplied a little warm building we can gather in. And it's just many little blessings, Father. We pray that we don't take it for granted. But Lord, we do appreciate everything you do for us. Lord, I ask that you would just bless the service. Bless each and every one that's gathered here this morning. Lord, you know every heart and every mind. Lord, you know each and every one that was going to gather here. And Lord, I pray that you would just look down in our hearts, meet our individual needs, whatever they may be. Lord Jesus, for truly, Lord, we're needy people. Bless the service, Lord, and the word as it comes forth. May our hearts and ears be open and receptive to it. Lord, we ask all this in your precious, precious name, the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you. Amen. Praise his name. You may be seated. Amen. He's so wonderful. Hallelujah. Turn with me, if you would, in our only believe books. Amen. I'd like to start on page 633. Amen. 233, sorry about that. Yeah, unworthy. Unworthy am I. Hallelujah. Unworthy am I of the grace that he gave. Unworthy to hold to his hand. Amazed that a king would reach down to a slave. His love have woven a crown.
I thrill just to know that he loved me so much. Oh, hallelujah.
For you, where he's brought you from, one worthy, hallelujah, praise his name. Page 308, hallelujah, amen. Remind me, amen, the things that I love and hold dear to my heart are just borrowed, they're not mine at all. Jesus only let me use them to brighten my life. So remind me, dear Lord. Take it for granted. Hallelujah. Page 35. Amen. Just thinking of what he's done for me this morning. Where he's brought us from. Amen.
I was sinking deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore. Thinking to rise no more. His blessed presence lit, ever His praises sing. Love so mighty and so true merits my soul's best song. He's everything to me. Amen. Sing it with me. He's everything. He's everything to me. He's everything. He's everything to me. He's my father, my mother, my sister, and my brother. My brother, he's everything.
He's everything to me. Amen. My very breath I breathe. Hallelujah. I may have a request for him. Something on your heart, maybe a trouble, maybe a need. Amen. Just hold it on your heart as we bow our heads. Brother Josh, would you like to take the request?
Precious Heavenly Father, Lord, once again we say it's a privilege and honor to work for you this morning. Lord, in a world full of chaos, Lord, we can gather in peace, Lord. Yes. Worship one another, Lord, with each other. For our brothers and sisters like precious faith and the same goal in mind, Lord. Lord, we ask you to, Lord, just look out on the each and every need this morning, that each and every person, Lord, you know each and every hand, Lord, what they have need of. Lord, we just ask you to bless it according to your perfect will this morning, Lord. Lord, as the word comes forth, Lord, give us eyes to see. Lord, open our eyes, Lord. And open our ears, Lord, to hear what you have for us this morning. Lord, give us revelation. Lord, we'll give you all the praise and glory for all things. In the name of Lord Jesus Christ, we pray.
Amen. Praise his name. Amen. You may be seated. Hallelujah. Would someone in the congregation have a song especially? Amen. All right. Karen, would you have something this morning? That should be good.
In the midst of this dark world of chaos, can God find someone on whom he can depend? One who yield and walk in his spirit, just one, oh, who can he send? I'm willing to go for I felt a call of fire from your presence touch my soul. It's burning out my own ambition, renewed such a sweet, sweet longing just to live in your spirit. Here am I, send me. In the midst of death and lukewarmness, is there one who feels the challenge to rise? Rise above this realm of human senses. Just one who lay his life aside. Here am I. Lord, I'm willing to go. For I fail. My soul, it's burning out my own ambition, renewed in me such a sweet, sweet longing just to live in your spirit. Here am I.
Send me, dear Lord. Let's stand if you would. Sing a little chorus, Only Believe. Ask our brother to come.
Only believe.
Talk to the author and finisher of our faith. Heavenly Father, Lord, we are so thankful again for this precious opportunity. That, Lord, again, we realize it's done through mercy and grace. Amen. That you would place down in a man or a woman's heart a desire. That precious desire. That holy desire. Oh, Lord, what a blessed people they are, that we are, Lord, whoever it may be that would have this desire today, that can be great enough and strong enough to conquer every circumstance in life, and Father, that it can balance out everything in life, come out to be the will of God. We ask, Lord Jesus, today, again, that you would speak to our hearts, to the Word of God. Open our understanding. Give us revelation. For, Lord, without faith, it is impossible to please Him. And he that cometh to God must believe that He is. And that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. A rewarder of them that diligently seek. Lord, we ask that you would help us this day now. Bless us, encourage us, and strengthen us. And help us, Lord, to walk the way you want us to walk. Holy, precious name, our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Praise his wonderful name.
Amen.
And greetings to every one of you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. While you're still standing, let us turn our Bibles, if you would, with me. Just refresh your mind. There's something here again. We pick up our little message that we were on last Sunday. Setting your sight on the finish. That's what our desire should be.
Amen.
Amen. Setting our sight on that. And let's read here St. John 4th chapter and 34th verse. Amen. I'm going to go ahead and put this back up while you're turning there. We find here again Jesus speaking here. And we didn't read all the scripture, as I said, just save a little time again. But you all remember what we was read last Sunday. Jesus saith unto them, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. Again, may the Lord bless during his word in our hearts. You may be seated. Amen. My meat, that which is sustaining me, feeding me, and keeping me. Oh, think about it. Is to do the will of him that sent me. I can only trust that that is the desire of every one of us in our hearts. That our very meat, what our greatest desire in life, the greatest, most important thing in our life. And even you may agree with me what I'm saying right now, but it's got to become a reality. That Jesus Christ is the most important one in your life. And in the scripture it shows us many times where he has to be the most important in your life. There's no question about it. All you got to do is begin to read in the New Testament and see. Go clear back to the Old Testament and see it. It's there everywhere that God has to be the first and on the throne of your heart. And he's got to be the same yesterday, today, and forever in your heart, in your life. You know, and thinking about that little song they sang, it's so fitting for the hour and time that we're living in. A special song that the sister sang. And how these things ought to be what we dwell upon during the day. I know we all got jobs. We have to make a living. We've got a home. We've got to keep up to keep a roof over our head, and food to put on the table, maybe an automobile to keep running, and so forth. But what is it that can come in a man or a woman's life that can truly balance everything to where the greatest heaviness in your heart is to do the will of Father? Do the will of God above everything else, that we can truly be a people. The scripture tells us that our heart, our affections, is on things above. Amen. And not on things of the earth. And that's what things of the earth is. Jobs, homes, families, all those things. That's what's on the earth. That's what's going on. That's what our daily things we have to do and take care of. But again, what can come in a man or woman's heart great enough that it can control all that, and yet you can have the mind of Christ in everything you do? That you won't get so carried away in the earthly things that you forget what God has for you every moment, every second that you're living. That you're always in that open channel with God. Lord, what is your will right now? James become in tune to it, and that's why he said life was as a vapor. And whatever we do, we should say, if the Lord will. Amen. If he should tarry. If it be his will. And I wonder if we've got a revelation strong enough that the Holy Spirit has given us that is fresh in our heart. Lord, what is your will for me before I make this move? And you may be getting ready to make a move to do something. Lord, is this your will? You know, and like I say, and it's like many other things in the Word of God. It's something, if you don't have a real understanding of everything, of what's needed in this hour especially, in this terrible age in which we live, if God don't give us the understanding of these things, then we just take it as, well, I believe it and I'm living it. But if the Holy Ghost don't make it real, you're just thinking you are. You just think I'm living that part, or that part's living in me, when we're far from it. You see? But only by the Holy Ghost can we know whether we're doing it exactly the way God wants it done. Believe me, in 30-some years of preaching, I've seen people say they are this and they are that and they believe this and believe that. and just in sometimes in few moments of time, find out they didn't. Because remember, your life expresses what you are, what you understand, what you live by, what your revelation is. You see? So everything that you do out here and everybody's seeing, that's what is on the inside. Because you're only responding from what's on the inside. Because remember, the soul is the control seat. The soul is the desire. The soul is the passions, the appetites, the drive. That's what the soul is. You see? So then again, only the spirit, the human spirit, the conscience, imagination, reasoning, so forth, affection, can only respond, I'll say it again, can only respond on what's on the inside. And then the old flesh is at the mercy of what the old spirit's doing, the human spirit. So then it only responds on what imagination, affection, reason, conscience, memory is doing. See? So it's nothing we can change. It's nothing we can say, well, God's not right in doing that to the human being, and I'm going to change it around where it's going to work different. No, that's the way it's going to work until we're out of this body. Unless the Lord Jesus Christ changes that nature or that soul on the inside, that desire, ambition, drive, passion, it's going to always come out wrong. It's always going to come out carnal. It's going to always not be the overcomer. It's always going to be somebody trying to live a Christian life. So the thing of it is, God's got to change that. So just to refresh your mind to that and to think about this again, what Jesus said. Now, Jesus talked about this finishing his work. All right? Completed. That it's done. At the time he was here on earth, there was a work that he had to do, and it had to be finished. Regardless of what the apostles that was following him thought, regardless of how hungry they was for natural food, those things got to have, you know, natural food. We've got to have natural food today, don't we? We got to have a home to live in, don't we? Or some kind of roof over our head, don't we? And if we're going to get somewhere to go to work or go to church, we call it, or maybe doctor's office and town buy groceries, we're going to have a car, ain't we? Yeah. Unless we go to horse and buggy. I don't think I got time for a buggy right now in this age. But the thing of it is, we got to have some kind of transportation. You see? So all these things we have to have, and to those apostles, having meat to eat was a necessity. Don't you think of it? It was a necessity. It was a necessity for Jesus to eat. He was in flesh. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. So he was flesh. He had to eat. But yet, regardless of what the earthly things was calling on, still the Lord Jesus said, I have meat to eat that you know not of. I come to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. Now, why couldn't that be the same desire that each one of us have? Our food is a necessity. I say it again. Our homes is a necessity. Our jobs is a necessity. But why can't we also be as the Lord Jesus? Concerned of getting to this finish line. Okay? And have that desire, ambition, drive to get there. See? To where we're always aware of it. We're actually conscious of it. You know, if somebody's knocked unconscious, they don't know what's going on. They don't realize what in the atmosphere around them, who's talking to them or what's going on, what's being said. And you can talk about them, say bad things all you want to or say good things all you want to about them, and they don't know what's going on. They're knocked unconscious. They're not conscious to what is going on. Sometimes that's a problem with people. They've been knocked unconscious with earthly things. That they don't realize what's going on. That there is a finish line that we've got to get to. And if we don't get to it, we're going to burn in hell. That's just in simple ways of putting it, is we're going to burn in hell if we don't get to that finish line. You see? So I think it pays to pay attention to God's Word and see if there's something there that I can get a greater revelation of or greater understanding of to see what's going on in my personal life and what's going on in your personal life to see if we are able to get to that finish line or to see if we have that drive and that ambition to get to that finish line. See? You follow me?
Amen.
Okay. So we realize it was Jesus was showing it here and just wanted to express it to you. I wanted to express to you a little greater that what's going on here, what he was talking about. So we wouldn't miss one thing that's important.
Amen.
Not one thing. And only by the help of the Holy Spirit can we do this. You see? So I want to read something here Brother Branham said here in a quote, November 16, 1963. He said here, at paragraph 62, if the life of Christ is in you, then therefore the works of the life of Christ you live. So we saw that a little bit ago. Because that's his life living through you. Now listen to the next thing he says. You're just in a vessel. You're just in a vessel. I'll read a little more about this in a minute. You're just in a vessel. This vessel, see, taste, feel, smells, hears. It has affection, conscience, reasoning, imagination, affection. It's in a vessel. You're just in a vessel to carry on the work of God.
Amen.
To carry it on. Okay? Now again, if he had this greatest ambition, drive, desire, however you want to say it. If he had this, would there not be another people come that would have the same ambition, drive, a force driving them to do the same thing? And not just get into this fix that many people are in today. They say they start going to church. They accepted Christ as their Savior. They got baptized in water, you know, and they sing with the rest of people. And they try to make sure they don't miss a service. And they be careful what they do all day long. Try to make sure they're a good person, not a bad person. But yet, unconscious to getting to that finish line. Again, let me ask you, do you see what I'm getting at? Don't forget it, okay? Because many people are missing the reality of what's happening now, okay? Now, this is, I'm going to refresh your mind to something in the Church Age book, page 151. He says here, according to Romans 4:16, we find that God has given a sure promise to all of Abraham's seed. And Paul puts himself and all believers under that designation because he says, Abraham, who is the father of us all, and then he goes on to not only narrow down his definition, but rather to finalize it, for in Galatians 3, he identified the seed singular with Jesus and counted the seed children as children of promise, and the promise as having to do with election. Now again, election's the only one going to get to that finish line. Or the choosing of God. And that is exactly what we have been saying. These who are of the royal seed are the elect of God, are the predestinated. In other words, what's predestinated? Preordered of God. Okay? And then he goes on to say, or the foreknown of God. Okay? And we, he says, and we're in the mind of God. He says, and we're in the mind of God and his thoughts. We're in the mind of God and in his thoughts. In very plain language, the true bride of Christ. True bride of Christ. Now, there's all kind of false brides. Now, what is false bride? People think they're bride when they're not. And remember, this is the most deceptive age ever was. People can think they're Christians or believe they're Christians when they're not. Oh, I see that so much anymore. When you just watch and see what's going on throughout the land, they think they're Christians when they're not. He says, in very plain language, the true bride of Christ was in the mind of God eternally, though not expressed until each came forth in the designated, decreed season. All right? Now again, the day you were born. Okay? God knew the dedicated, decreed season that you'd be born for. What age you would be born for. We weren't born in Luther's age. We was not born in Wesley's age. We were not born in Apostle Paul's age. No. We were born in the bride age, the life age. Okay? Where the literal life of Jesus Christ was to come back into his body. All right? As to say, many-membered body, which is his bride. Okay? All right. Decreed season, as each member came forth, it became expressed. All right. From the day you were born and his life began to begin in your life, things begin to express. We start out expressing as a child that we were born in sin, shaping in iniquity. We came into this world lying and cheating and stealing and hating, disliking people. Trying to get back at people, not wanting to obey parents, just being anything that is contrary to the Word of God. That's how our life began to express. Then, when God came down into our lives, we felt that little nudge down on the inside. Something was drawn on the inside of our heart and something pulling strong in our heart. And God got a hold of our life and he changed that old expression. Done away with it. Crucified it. Now the Holy Spirit has brought forth new life inside of you. Amen. Now it's his life, no longer that carnal life that you was born with. But all this expressing is going on now. And now as you receive the new birth, you're born again. Now there's something begins to express that is Christ-like instead of carnal, human thinking, hateful, jealousy, all kinds of things. Envy and strifes, all those terrible things. You see? Each member came forth, it became to express, and he says, and it took its place in the body. Thus, this bride is the literal spoken word seed bride. And though she is feminine in designation, why? Because we're his wife. We're the wife of Jesus Christ. Bride. That's why you're called bride, because you're his wife. Okay? She is also called the body of Christ. It is very apparent that she ought to be called that, for she was predestinated in him. Now think about that. She was predestinated in him. So again, I see no problem of her having the same drive in her, the same pull, the same ambition to finish the work of God. For our designated decreed season. Is that right?
Amen.
That's right. It is very apparent that she ought to be called that, for she is predestinated in him. Came from the same source. Came from the same source that Jesus Christ came from. Oh, yeah. Now think about it. Came from the same source. Now you want me to go a little, just a little further, just throw a little nugget in? It's his desire that's inside this tabernacle of flesh. Not yours. It's Christ Did you not remember, as Apostle Paul said, I live, but yet it's not I that liveth. It is Christ that liveth in me. Is that right? So now, Jesus Christ is in vessels again. With that same desire to finish the work of God. Because it's Him. That's why there's no way it's going to fail. It's impossible. Now you might see people that thinks they're on this road and thinks they're going to finish, believes they're going to finish, hopes they're going to finish. But God predestined the people to finish His work. Yeah. And you'll see it in their life that they were predestinated to finish this work. Let me go on. He says here, came from the same source, was eternal with Him, and is now manifesting God. Wow. Who is? God is in His many-membered body. Let's read it again. Came from the same source, eternal with Him, and is now manifesting God in a many-membered body. You see why that people is going to be so much different? You'll see why they can stay with the Word. You're going to see why they are not going to let the things of this earth distract them. You see why the things of the world will not be more important than getting to that finish line. See why they'll have meat to eat that many will know not of. Many will not know not of, because your meat is to do the will of Him that sent you and to finish it. Not play with it. Not be people that just say, hey, amen, I'm it. I'm one of them. And then it just don't never happen. Nah, there's going to be people that their minds is just so blowed up with sin and filth and corruption and thinking they're believers and everything else and think they're going to get to that. But unless God predestinated you, and if He has, your life is going to show it. Nothing is going to distract you. You know what your purpose is of getting to that God sent you here for, and you're not going to let anything stop it. Oh, yeah. Yeah, the life down here, this life on earth may be calling at you for this and calling at you for that. And they have all kinds of distractions. But it can't do it. Neither did it to the Lord Jesus. Neither will it to the Lord Jesus today in a many-membered body. Oh. I'm telling you, this is so far, friends, from being just what people think. They're believers. And Christians. It's not even close. People are so deceived and thinking, I'm a this and I'm a that and I'm a bride and I'm a this. Why don't their life show it? Why don't drink and I don't smoke and I don't curse? But are you a prisoner of the Lord Jesus Christ? Does He have the preeminence of your life? That every step you take, Lord, is this your will? What do you want me to do this day, Lord, when I rise out of bed? What is your will for me? Is it, if the Lord will, I will. If the Lord will, if He tarries, I will. Are we that in tune, or are we knocked unconscious? And being as the parable Jesus spoke of, the seed sown in stony ground and in the thorns. And now with joy, when we first heard it and praise God, I recognize the problem of the age and I'm one of them. them. But the cares of life begin to choke it. And choke it. Now we're absolutely, there can't be the literal life of Jesus Christ come out to get to this finish line. You see what I'm saying? Amen. Remember, saints, we're here for a purpose. Amen. We are here that when I walk out them doors today, I've got to be higher in God. If I don't go out higher in God, I'm further behind. It is impossible to sit here today and stay neutral. Impossible. There is no such thing. You either walk out this door today closer to God and Him living greater in your life, having a greater preeminence in your life, or you've walked away from God further. God may be standing right there, and after service you can be closer to Him and part of Him, or you can take another few steps away from Him and say, "See you, Lord." All that won't go through our minds, "See you, Lord." But being deceived, it's "see you, Lord," and we don't realize it. See? Because earthly things are drawing and pulling strong today. So strong! Especially to us American people, the trash collectors. The trashiest people that walks the face of the earth. Yeah. Brother Steve, I'm not the trashiest person. You don't get what I'm saying. Them little people over in Africa, friends, don't have nothing. Mud huts, grass roofs, and they live for the day waiting on the next nugget to get from God's word. That's what they live for. Live for it. Long for it. Yeah. But today, we rise out of bed. And this don't work, so we got to work on this. And this fell apart. And I got to go to work. Because if we don't work, we don't eat. And if we don't this, yes, that's the normal things. It was the normal things for the disciples. I had to go get meat to eat. But still, Jesus Christ had something different in His mind. Amen. I have meat to eat that they knew not of. And at that time, they didn't. They weren't filled with the Holy Ghost yet. They didn't know nothing about it. They didn't have that drive. They just followed Jesus because they knew He was the Master. They knew He was the Messiah that was supposed to come. And they knew they seen these miracles, and they knew something's different about Him, and I must follow Him. And He said, "Come," and I followed Him. Just like the word today, it says, "Come," and we follow it. But I don't mean we're born again. The disciples followed it a lot. Jesus Christ, the Word. And didn't have the new birth. Until one day, they did get it. Then their meat became to do the will of the Father. Yeah. Everything changed around. Before, they was scared to death what was going to happen. Ran from people because, "Oh, this is going to, they're going to kill me, this, that, and the other." But when God got a hold of them, they was bold and stood on what God given them. And their most important thing in life was serving God. Doing everything. As Apostle Paul put it himself, "I, Paul, a prisoner of Rome." That ain't what he said. "I, Paul, a prisoner of the Lord Jesus Christ." His meat changed. Yeah. His meat was no longer just trying to eat and stay alive and just, you know, try to think about this theory that about the Lord Jesus and all that. No. It became his life. Everything he did was to glorify God, which is what's going to become ours. Yeah. Now then, here we are coming to a conclusion. As eternal Logos, God, was manifest in the Son, and in Jesus dwelt all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And that eternal one was the Father manifest in flesh, and thereby gained the title of Son. Even so we, are you listening?
Amen.
Even so we, eternal in his thoughts, in our turn, I'm going to tell you right now, it's our turn. Not tomorrow. Became the many-membered spoken word seed manifest in flesh. And those eternal thoughts now manifest in flesh are the sons of God. Even as we are so called, we did not become seed by the rebirth. We were seed, and therefore were reborn, for only the elect can be reborn. Because we were seed is the reason we could be quickened. In non-seed, there is nothing to quicken. In non-seed, there's absolutely nothing interesting to get to a finish line. Nothing. It's just, I'm a believer, Brother Steve. And I'm following the Lord, you know, and I'm a Christian. And I believe this message, you know, just leave me alone. I'm doing fine. Okay? I'll leave you alone. The only way I can leave you alone is you walk out these doors. Because as long as you're sitting here, I ain't going to leave you alone. No. I'm going to stir your pure minds to the way of remembrance. Of what God has for you right now. And what he's looking for. That's my responsibility. Yes. Let's go on. Time has been a half hour already. If you want to turn with me, Philippians 3. Let's read some scriptures for a little bit. Philippians 3. And let's read 13th and 14th verse here. Refresh your mind with this before we go on. We read this last Sunday. I want you to think about this again. Think we can just fool with it? No, can't fool with it. It's got to happen. And it should be pressing in your heart to get there. Yeah. Philippians 3, 13th, 14th verse. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching... You don't know what it is to reach, don't you? I'm sure you do. You know, if I take and put this Bible over here and I want that, it's my desire to have that Bible. And what's in that Bible? I'm going to reach for it. And forget what was behind. I'm going to reach for that. Reach for it. Reaching forth unto those things which are before the life of Christ. The finish line. Yeah. I press. Now you want, before I go on, God knows how much press each one of us have in us. You know that? I press. He knows whether some has got a press that's pressing so great in their heart and a longing for this so great that the things of the world grow strangely dim. Yeah. that where it's not more important than studying God's Word, praying, being at service, whatever it may be, the life of Christ coming through the body, expressing. He knows, every one of us sitting here today, how much press we've got in us. Some may have a great press, some may have a little press, and some may not have no press. Yeah. I press. Paul had a great press in his heart. I press toward the mark. In other words, the goal or the end one has in view is the original Greek. I press toward the mark for the prize, the reward of the high calling. I'm going to tell you what, friends. When you're on this road and your hearts are burning to see that literal life of Jesus Christ on display and God having the full preeminence in your life, that's high calling. Yeah. If we ain't got that, there ain't no high calling. Yeah. Nothing high about it. Nothing great about it. Nothing strong about it. It's just, we think we're called, but we're not. But those that's really got this great press in their heart, it's because of that high calling on the inside. Oh my. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God. I press for it in Christ Jesus. Turn with me to Jeremiah 29, if you will, in the Old Testament. Jeremiah 29. Just want to read a few scriptures. Like I said, press in your heart here something. Jeremiah 29, 11th, 12th, 13th verse. Jeremiah 29. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you. Oh my. Saith the Lord. Thoughts of peace. Think about it. And not of evil. If God has predestinated you and set you under His wing, friend, to take you through, you can be assured He has thoughts of peace towards you. Yes. And not of evil. To give you an expected end. Hallelujah. Then shall ye call upon me, and ye shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you. And ye shall seek me and find me when ye shall search for me with all your heart. What a promise. If I do what He says, He'll get me there. Because it won't be me getting there. It'll be Him. Amen. This is a life you cannot live yourself. Amen. He'll do it for you. Amen. But how will you thank God if there's something on the inside? Amen. To seek Him. Amen. Pray. Search for Him. With all that's in us. With all our heart. Amen. To get to that place. And ye shall seek me and find me when ye shall search for me with all, I like that, all your heart. Now, can you imagine us sitting around, and God knows our thoughts, search the reins, knows our thoughts, us sitting around thinking, praise God, I'm a searching Him with all my heart, bless God, I'm a real Christian, I'm on fire for God, you know, and I'm searching Him and seeking Him with all my heart. And we don't do as He says, pray. We don't seek. And remember, He's a reward of them that diligently seek Him. Diligently seek Him, not just seek, but diligently seek Him. You don't let off. No letting off. No letting down. No letting cares of life choke you out. No letting off. No letting off. No letting down. No slowing down. Diligently. Oh my. Well, Brother Steve, I got things to do. You don't understand my life. I'm a busy man. I'm a busy woman, you know. You don't understand me. Who says you can't seek Him while you're working? Who says you can't stop doing what you're doing and pick up the Word of God and pray and seek God for a greater understanding of the Word? Oh, we ain't got time for that. We ain't got time to listen to tapes. We ain't got time to listen to messages. Brother Steve, you're lucky I'm a church, brother. I feel sorry for you. If it's the only teaching and preaching you get, friends, once a week, I feel sorry for you. Yeah. Do you eat natural food once a week? Huh? Do you just eat supper one day a week and that's all you eat all week? I'll tell you what, ain't none of you do. But you know what? When that old flesh tummy begins to growl and hunger, oh my, throw it in there. Feed it. It's hungry. Where's that hunger on the inside? Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. But we think, oh, once a week's enough for me. I ain't got time to read the Bible. I ain't got time to read the messages. I ain't got time to listen to it. I got other things to do. Brother Steve, my car's broke down. It sure ain't beyond God the car be broke down. And something's pulling you, go in there and listen to a message maybe. And come back out and the car's running. Oh, Brother Steve, get out of here. What are you, some magician or some crazy man? No. God is more than able. God don't mess with material things. He took the wheels off of chariots when they was trying to destroy God's children. Why can't He put wheels back on the chariots? Huh? But we put limits on God. Me, me, me first. Home, home, home first. Car, car, car first. Job, job, job first. What happened to the Lord Jesus Christ first? Huh? Oh, my. We still got a long ways to go. Amen. And you shall seek me and find me when you shall search me with all your heart. Luke 16. Turn with me real quickly. Try to close for this morning. We've got many more things to read, but Luke 16. Luke 16 and 16. The law and the prophets were until John. Since that time, the kingdom of God is preached. I think that's what I'm doing today, isn't it? Preaching? Yeah. The kingdom of God is preached. And every man and woman presseth into it. That means, friends, you're going to have to lay aside something because you're pressing through what it is that's distracting. You're going to press through it. Press for it. Yeah. But sometimes we live on this earth and thinking we're going to live here forever. Oh, no. We're pilgrims and strangers journeying this land. And not here very long. For again, as Brother James said in the scripture, life is but a vapor. Here today, gone tomorrow. As I've said before and mentioned before of this pulpit, You know, I'm sure probably a lot of you have been to auctions before, estate auctions. And you see all these things that people added up all these years. I mean, there's crock pots, there's dishes, there's guns, there's shovels, there's rakes, there's tractors, there might be plows, there's just all kinds of things. Oh my, there's curtains, there's just all kinds of things. And then, when death knocked on the door, all those things that the old feller used to polish up his gun, you know, it's the only one, it's a collector's item. She polished up her silverware that she got when she got married. Oh my. The nice hut she was in, it was just, oh my, it was the one her husband bought her for maybe her second anniversary and made sure it was dusted and everything. I'm not saying it's wrong to take care of something, but get to a point. But when death knocked on the door, there wasn't a thing they could take with them. They couldn't take all that with them that was precious to them at that time, that meant so much to them. And their heart wasn't right with the Lord, and they had to leave this life in a condition. They didn't know where they was at in God. It's a shame it didn't take more time polishing up that soul. Polishing up that soul. The man that sinneth shall surely die. It's a shame. Because earthly things is the most important thing in life. But Jesus warned us, I'm trying to tell us, through his word, our affection should be centered on things above and not on things of the earth. We've got a responsibility, the same as Jesus had, to finish a work. Not just come here and stop. We'd better ask God to give us something to get going again and get it done. Yeah. Because time is running out. Time is running out. And still, earthly things are so important. But Jesus told his disciples, yeah, they had the necessity of eating. If they didn't, they was going to die physically. I've got meat to eat that you know not of. I wonder if I speak these things, and as I speak it in closing, won't you sisters come in, instruments, please? While I'm speaking these things today, I wonder if the Word of God today again would have to say, I've got meat to eat that you know not of. You don't know what I'm talking about. There's no ambition, no drive, no passion for that. No longing. Have I got meat to eat that you know not of? Jesus did at that time that his disciples didn't know nothing about. Nothing. What's it to put past us that, oh, we're message believers, we think. But again, there's meat to eat that you as an individual know not of. Well, what do I do about it, Brother Steve? Well, the same thing the disciples did. Get filled with the Holy Ghost. Amen. And then you'll know about this meat. then you'll be partakers in the very divine nature of God. Yes. Until that, your job's too important, your family's too important, car's too important, your food's too important. It's too important. And look at what we have to do in life anyway. You know, it's kind of sickening that we have to do it. But it's so sickening to think we have to give 8 hours on a job. Some of us more. Most of the time it's 10 or 11 for me. But 10, 11 hours a day on a job. And I can't give it to the Lord. The only way I can is have the mind of Christ and express through this body and Him do whatever He wants to do with this tabernacle flesh. But until that, you're giving your job a whole lot more time than what Lord Jesus Christ gets. You ever think about that? Then you get home from the job and you got to fix this or you got to take care of that or you got to go to town and get groceries. Just think, how much more time all this stinking life gets above what the Lord gets.
Amen.
So again, the only way I can fix it to even help the problem is Jesus Christ come in me. And when I go to town, somebody may see the way I responded to something. And, wow, that's strange. You've got something I've never seen before. Are you a Christian? How could I find out about this? Tell me about this. Because I've never seen this happen before. I've got all my family that goes to this church and that church, and they say they're Christians, and now you can't tell from the rest of the people in the world. Tell me about this, what you got. What if they never see anything? What if they can't see every minute of your life reflecting Jesus Christ? Terrible to sit back and think. Of all this time we give to all these earthly things, and the Lord Jesus has been so good to us, died for us, gave His life for us, gets about nothing. Oh, I might pray a couple minutes before I go to work, or you know, Brother Steve, once a week I pick up the Bible and read it. You know, I'll listen to tape once in a while, you know. Wow. What are we polishing? A silver plate? A nice old antique gun? Or are we polishing on that soul? Lord. Let me keep my mind renewed. Oh, Lord Jesus. I come to do Thy will, O God. I'm here to finish this work, Lord, You've appointed me to. What is Your will for me today, Lord, as I get out of bed this morning? Do You want me to do anything, Lord, before I go to bed tonight? Is there something You need? Huh? Or is it just, I'm tired, I'm going to bed. God never even in thought. And sad to say, but maybe with some, the only time God comes in our life is when the doors open on the church, or we get sick, or Susie's in trouble, yeah. Or Donnie fell and broke his toe. Oh, I need You, Lord. Sad, but that's about the way it is with many people. Yeah. But God knows them that are His, and He knows them who are pressing into it. There's only one way to press. And that's have something behind you pushing you. Pushing. And that's His desire. Hallelujah. us all stand. Praise his holy name. Thank you, Lord. I appreciate his word. Lord, make every word real in my heart. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. I just wanted to sing a little song. Can't get to come to me. Actually, the sisters was playing it before service. Can't think of the name of it. Let's sing that. You're all my all in all. Amen. It's not the one, but we'll sing it, of course. Amen. And I want you to think about these words again, saints. You're my strength when I'm weak. And I'm going to tell you what. If Jesus Christ ain't in there driving you, you're weak. Boy. Without him, you're weak. That's why we need him every moment, every day of our life. You're the treasure that I seek. Are you really seeking that treasure? Amen. Is there a pearl of great price that you're looking for? It costs you a price. Absolutely, it does. You don't just be able to do whatever flesh wants to do. There's a price to it. Yeah. And seeking you as a precious jewel, Lord, to give up. If you're even sitting there thinking about giving up after hearing things like I've said today, oh my. You'd be a fool. Scripture says call no man a fool, but I'm going to tell you what, in yourself you better realize you'd be a fool to give up now. My, you are my all in all. Is he that to us? What we talking about today? Amen. Let's sing it. You are my strength when I am weak. You are the treasure that I seek. You are my all in all. And seeking you as a precious jewel, Lord, to give up, I'd be a fool. You are my all. Think about those words. Amen. Jesus, Lamb. My sin, my cross, my shame, rising again, I bless your name. You are my all in all. When I fall down, you pick me up. When I am dry, you fill me up. You are my all in all. Jesus, Lamb of God, worthy is your name. Jesus, Lamb of God, worthy is your name. As Brother Timothy comes up dismissed, if you will, I want just you sisters to sing that. Jesus, Lamb of God, worthy is your name. Oh, worthy is your name. Would you sing it? Come on up, Brother Timothy.
Jesus, Lamb of God.
Brothers,
Jesus, Lamb of God.
together now. Amen. Oh, Jesus, Lamb of God. Jesus.
Oh, we love
thank you,
Lord.
Lord.
Appreciate you.
Oh, yes, Lord. Thank Amen. You, Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord.
Precious Heavenly Father, we are so thankful for the word we've heard this day.
Oh, God.
Lord, we're thankful for the opportunity to have been here.
Yes, Lord Jesus.
Lord, to hear you speak to our hearts. Lord, we truly see the
thank you, Lord.
Winding down of time.
Oh, God.
And Lord, when we can look and see what you've done and the grace that
yes,
you've bestowed
Jesus.
Into my life, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Each one of us has got to see that it was your grace to us.
Oh, God. Hallelujah.
The Lord, we stand here with a desire pulsating in our hearts.
Oh, God.
And Lord, if it isn't burning as strong as our brother has spoke today, may we cry out to you, Lord, that it
oh,
would be that great.
Oh, God. Hallelujah.
Lord, praise the things of this heart. Life will grow strangely dim in the light of your glory and grace. And Lord, when we can truly see the purpose in which we were sent. Lord,
hallelujah.
I think oftentimes as Jesus says, as your life was expressed to us oh, through the scriptures. And Lord, all through the time, everywhere we looked, Lord, you was doing what you were sent to do.
Amen.
Your life expressed
oh,
your
God.
Purpose. From the beginning to the end.
Yes, Lord Jesus.
And Lord, we've been sent here to finish it. And
oh,
Lord, may our
God.
Lives be an expression, a true expression of the word that
oh,
we've heard, not
God.
Just of an American American citizen or just another human being in this world.
Oh, God.
But, Lord, of a true identification coming
forth of
identified scripture Christian.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Lord, with a testimony that shows forth to this world.
Oh, God.
Lord, that we are recipients of your grace and of someone that does have a new birth and a changed soul.
Oh, hallelujah.
That is not made of man.
Hallelujah.
But oh God, you are the great creator.
Oh God.
Lord, we worship you this morning for all that you have done.
Lord.
And Lord, we pray a special blessing on those that couldn't be here today that may be sick or afflicted. Pray you'll touch them, raise them up. Give them strength for these old bodies, Lord, as they grow older and get weaker.
Yes, dear Lord.
But Lord, last of all, may we never fail to give you the glory and the
honor.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
And I love you with all our hearts.
Thank you, Lord.
We'll never fail to give you the glory and the honor this week. We ask it all in the lovely, precious name of the
Hallelujah.
Lord Jesus Christ.
Hallelujah.
There's a sweet, sweet spirit in this place, and I know it's the Spirit of the Lord.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.
Glory to you.
Praise your holy name.
Oh, take it with you, saints.
Amen.
Bring it back with you this evening, if the Lord should tarry.
Yes, amen.
Live, and we get to come.
Oh,
see
God.
See what he would have for us.
Amen.
Oh, you'll get out of it what you put into it.
Amen.
Amen. You know, it's about like planting a garden. You tend it, and you work it with the sweat of your brow, the way God intended for man to do it this day.
Amen.
And it'll produce a harvest for you.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Enjoy all winter long. And that's the way God designed us. You press.
Amen.
He's a rewarder, as our brother spoke. He'll diligently pull out a blessing you can't contain.
Yes.
Amen. May the Lord richly bless you. You're dismissed.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.